You're listening to the Leaders of Transformation podcast, where difference makers and world changers come every day to be inspired, learn how to launch their initiative, and become a leader of transformation. Here's your host, transformational leader, speaker, and coach, Nicole Jansen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Leaders of Transformation. Today, we are going to talk about embodied transformation. And we have a guest here that is an expert, mind-body educator, Angelica Singh. And she has had a lot of life experience with this herself, life-changing healing crisis that she went through, and as a result of that has developed a deep understanding of energy systems and trauma. Certainly, to be able to create transformation in your life, you got to deal with the stuff that holds you back. And she's someone that helps people to do that. She has been featured in O, the Oprah Magazine, Dare to Dream radio talk show, the Autoimmune Hour. She's been sourced for interviews in Mind Body Green Magazine, Om Times, and the Whole Life Times. She is, as I said, an expert in what she does. So, Angelica, welcome to Leaders of Transformation. We're excited to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And also a shout out to Catherine Dennessy, who actually introduced me to Angelica, and Debbie Dashinger, who actually introduced me to Catherine. Isn't that cool? I love how connections work. You meet one person randomly. I met Debbie randomly at a women's network event, actually, as we were both kind of walking out the door. And here we are talking to Angelica. So it's really cool. You just never know who you're going to meet when you're open and receptive to it. We're excited that you're here. Those of you that are listening, I encourage you to make connections with the people that we're having on this show. You can go to leadersoftransformation.com. All the show notes will be there from this show, as well as all the previous episodes that we have up there, which is over 145 episodes of leaders and difference makers. And I encourage you to go back, if you haven't already done so, and listen to those. Pick ones that really resonate with you. And then, as I said, connect with them. You know, find them on social media. Go to their website. Learn what they're doing, because these are some amazing people that I've had the honor to interview. And they can make a huge impact in your life. And you never know where it's going to go from there. So coming back to Angelica. Angelica, give us a little bit more specifics in terms of what you do, who you work with, and how you create impact with the clients that you work with.
Sure. So I do a lot of work with all kinds of people. Sometimes people come just because they've had trauma in their lives and they're aware of that, or they come from a referral because they're looking for guidance. I love to work with entrepreneurs and people who are already facilitating others or leaders in their fields or teachers, because they really benefit from understanding a little bit more about nervous system regulation and how trauma impacts really everybody. We talk about it in terms of trauma, but really what it is limitations in our consciousness that could have occurred either from our experience in this life, or an actual physical incident or event, or an emotional trauma. So we use that word, or I use that word pretty broadly, because it's something that people can relate to and access. So it's really all kinds of people, people who have anxiety, also people who are really looking for transformation and looking for a way to empower themselves through their own experience.
Well, and one of the things we were talking about when we initially were talking is the rampant anxiety that is out there and people stressed at such high levels. Certainly, I know our technology, the amount of time we spend on computers and phones and so forth contributes to that. But it's much more than that. What is your, because I know you've been doing this for a while, what is your observation? Are we kind of, is this something that has been going on for a while? Is it spiking right now in terms of anxiety, the levels that people are experiencing out there? Are you finding it's getting worse? Just kind of give us an idea of the trend.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it with technology innovating faster than what we integrate. And there is a sense that we can't keep up with how quickly things are moving, just in general. I think the connectivity, while it has beautiful qualities of making things more accessible, making us more perceptive and aware of what's around us, there is an equal need for a level of personal responsibility and personal accountability and understanding. How do we deal with technology? How do we deal with these things in a cooperative and intelligent manner so that the highest amount of people benefit from the quality of what innovation and progress can bring. And that's really the challenge or the tension field that we come across, I think, particularly in the Western world, or at least in our country, because the system of capitalism and innovation and progress and money is such a big part of how we move forward or how we see ourselves or identify ourselves. Unfortunately, the values that we'd need to manage some of that have diminished in the face of it, which leaves us with less systemic regulation, not just in a personal way, but in a familial way. So the core values of how we take care of ourselves and each other unfortunately loses out in that paradigm of quicker, faster, better, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And I think of also capacity as the capacity, if you have trauma and stress that are creating barriers, you're also going to be lessening your capacity to be able to take on, to learn, and to grow and to adapt at the pace of innovation, like you were talking about integrating, not being able to integrate as fast as innovation is occurring. And I noticed that kind of there's like two camps with my clients as I coach business owners and leaders and entrepreneurs. There's kind of like the people that are innovating so fast and they're like sponges, you know, and they're just like, mm-hmm. Yes. And a lot of millennials, young people, even younger than that, you know, they're just like, yeah, let's do this. And things are happening quickly. And that's why we're seeing even people becoming overnight, quote unquote, overnight successes in business.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't mean they have holistic success, and that's a whole other conversation. But I mean, seeing they're just like, yeah, they get it. And they're, you know, and they're like, yeah, let's do this. There's this other group of people that are like, I don't get it, or I can't keep up. I'm struggling, and they feel like it's almost like this weight. And I've been there, where it's like you feel like this weight. It's like, am I over the hill? Am I getting too old for this, or what? And it's really a capacity issue.
That's right. Even in the nervous system. So the way that we talk about it in the trauma world is really that the window of tolerance for stress and for what you're calling also learning and integration shrinks the more trauma we have, and that trauma can begin early on from the time we were conceived until later in life. And so it really does change our capacity for possibility, for what we perceive. And that's really the dysregulation that I'm speaking to in an individual. And there really is a tremendous amount of anxiety that is fueled that way. And some people can use that and become sort of high functioning and mobile. And other people really feel debilitated by that. In either case, there will be symptoms, and those symptoms will sometimes turn to a more heavily difficult dis-ease or just anxiety and having to use caffeine to come up and alcohol to go down and the mind racing and not being able to settle.
Yes. Well, I'm hearing a lot more people saying they have sleep apnea. And then, of course, when you – where was I? Whole Foods the other day, and – while I was at the checkout, you know, there's, all, of course, all those loss leaders, you know, they're trying to sell those little knickknacks and things. And I was looking at it, and I was amazed. It's so many different ways to boost energy. So there was, like, the energy, the five-hour energy drink, and then there was the chocolate that had infused, you know, been infused with stuff that'll give you energy, and then there's this that'll give you energy, and then energy drinks. And it's like, wow, what? This is so crazy. Like, it's so crazy. Everybody's trying to boost themselves up without looking at the cause of what's actually causing the energy drain in the first place. We can talk from a spiritual standpoint. I know where I get my strength and energy is from my faith and my spirituality. So I don't need energy drinks. Yeah, sometimes I'll feel a little bit more fatigued, and then I look at it and saying, hey, why is that? And I check in. But yeah, it's finding that source of energy that is sustainable energy, I guess. So tell us a little bit about this healing crisis that you went through, kind of led to you to doing what you do right now.
Sure. I mean, I would say I was a very sensitive child and kid, and at the same time, pretty disconnected and not able to cope with the sensitivity. So I had a tendency to just dissociate and not really be in the sensitivity. And it eventually, I had a lot of traumatic experiences in the form of surgeries or accidents, and really developed PTSD at a very young age, and really was undiagnosed, had no idea, but was very dysregulated. And over the course of time, those traumas shrunk my window of tolerance and came into my body as pain. And I really sought to heal that pain because it was debilitating in many ways when I was young. And it really led me on a path of opening my consciousness up through yoga and meditation. And in that process, it didn't always get better. It also produced a lot more and uncovered a lot more of the trauma that I had been dealing with. It just started to come to the surface. And it was a very intense transformative experience because I had a lot of trauma to begin with, and then it came out in a pretty traumatic way. But it was a great opportunity for me to confront death, insanity, the worst fears that I had. I don't know that I would have asked for it consciously, that experience, but it definitely served as an incredible navigating ship for understanding my own consciousness and consciousness in general. And it solidified a lot of my teachings and how I facilitate people. And then I spent, you know, basically 15 years training and making sure that what I had experienced had an accessible, integrated left brain expertise to it so that I could understand it, I could talk about it, and really create a level of coherency in myself so that I could help other people, because I understood even then that everybody was dealing with some version of what I was dealing with. Mine just happened to come out in a very quick and intense manner.
What were you doing before this? I mean, this is when you were talking about roughly around the age of 28, it started. So what were you doing before? You were a writer.
Yeah, I was a writer, and I worked for Disney and Discovery and, you know, in the corporate world, and not particularly happy in that vein and venue, and this really changed my path. I think a lot of people hit the kind of crisis I hit at 28, sometimes often later in their lives, like in around 40, 45. You know, I think that it was something that happened to me quite early, so it really altered the direction of my life at a young age. So much of my life, I mean, that's like 17 years ago now. So it really changed the next, you know, almost 20 years of my life and how I came into being a facilitator and doing trauma work and really having to stitch it together from the ground up again.
Yeah. So how do you do it when you work individually with people? Do you do also group workshops? Like, tell us a little bit about how you facilitate that healing.
Sure. So I developed actually a training called the Embodiment Process. It's a foundational training. I train other practitioners who want to deepen their practices and incorporate more trauma and embodiment work, which includes, you know, the transformative aspects of that. There's an online class that is coming out in March of 2018. So that's something that lay people can sign up for if they're interested. And then I work one-on-one with people on Skype, phone calls, and I have clients all over the world, and people, I live in Los Angeles and work here, and so I have one-on-one clients, and I still do quite a few group processes, and obviously, you know, the trainings I do are 2-3-4 year trainings, depending on people's needs. Some people want to be practitioners, some people are really just wanting to deepen their own experience, and really what people get out of it is they get a sense of ground and neutrality and empowerment from being able to navigate from a place that is attuned. They can attune to their own body, their own connection to their spirituality, their source, their consciousness, which is unfortunately what gets taken away from us in the innovative technology world, is that we start attuning to the stimulation around us instead of what is the pace at which I need to go so that I can maximize my possibilities and potential. And if trauma interrupts that, we don't have a solid base. So I really work with people to develop that ground and help them metabolize their imprinting, is what I call it, digest their early traumatic experiences so that they actually have basic trust in their path, in their connection to source or consciousness or their bodies, however they want to, you know, perceive it. But that's something that's available to all of us with the right facilitation and the right circumstances, environment where there's enough safety and cooperation for that material to actually be completed.
Now, do you get into biorhythms? I kind of sounded like you were referring a little bit to that, whereas people are not going at the pace of what everybody else says they should or what the world is doing, but what works for them. Do you get into biorhythms and all of that as well?
I'm not familiar with that word, but certainly just from the sound of it, we definitely work on regulation and a deeper sense of attunement to the slower rhythms of the human consciousness and body, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean some people naturally are inclined towards faster rhythms. It's not about trying to change what's already there. It's really about modulating and understanding how stimulation is affecting us and clearing out and completing anything that would make us feel more disconnected from even the knowing of what's actually occurring for us.
Yes. Well, the biorhythms is really just like everybody has in their day. Some people are morning people, some people are night people, and
yeah.
you go through sleep patterns and all of this. And so that's when you were talking about the regulating that and finding what works for you. Now, when you talk about being really connected to yourself and aligned, what are some of the things that, as a starting point, that people can do? So you have somebody that comes to you that has gone through a series of experiences, who hasn't, right, gone through mm-hmm. certain experiences. I think we all have a certain amount of traumas. Years ago, actually, I went to a lady who was a holistic practitioner, and she asked me, she said, have you ever had trauma in your life? And I'm like, oh, uh-huh. yeah. And so then she's like, how many are we talking here? And so I started to list them. I had never really thought about them as trauma, but then I started listing them, and she was like, okay, that's a lot. But there was not that she was judging it. She was just like, I think she already kind of knew. She was asking the question that she already kind of sensed. So we started to unpack that. But I think everybody has a certain, you know, even if you came from a highly functional family, you can still have trauma. That
of course.
It's the meanings that we give things as well as the actual experience. So, you know, let's say you have some people that are listening that have gone through some stuff. Where do they begin this process?
Well, I would say that the first place is really just learning how to slow down and not feeling like you have to get in a fight with your own body or your own will in order to make that happen, because a lot of times people have a hard time slowing down. They're very used to or even addicted to the adrenaline chemicals that keep them going. So it really, oftentimes people come to me, or as you know, it, you know, where they actually are noticing that there is and may be an issue because they're having symptoms or because something isn't working in their life. It really, anybody could utilize the skill of slowing down and what I call an embodiment meditation, which is really about regulating. And that has to do with coming into ourselves, coming into our body. So it's not so much a meditation where you're just breathing and sort of noticing things, although that is a part of it. It's much more about sensing and about giving the body a chance to come down into itself and really change the state of consciousness of the nervous system. Now, if somebody has a lot of trauma, that will be more challenging without a facilitator, which is why you probably noticed, Nicole, that there are a lot more research about mindfulness and people going to mindfulness classes, and it's actually exacerbating some of the symptoms and bringing them up more. Even yoga can do this because some of those traumas are opening up, and some of that, those pockets of consciousness, as they come out, they don't come out in a very regulated way.
Right, and that's where the facilitation comes in. Interesting that you say that. I am so excited that there is all these coaches and healers and all of this, you know, all these people coming out that want to help people. I'm excited about that. I think it's an amazing time to be alive. And there's also a little bit of concern, because if you trigger people and you don't know how to take, you got to be able to take them to the other side. And it's not just a weekend course on life coaching that will do that. You know, it's having the kind of understanding and research it, becoming a master at your practice and your methodology like you have, to be able to take somebody to the other side. I'm glad you said that, because you get all these people triggered, and then it's like, well, now they're actually, like you said, worse off than before. So tell us a little bit more about how what you've actually seen with that and what people can do if, let's say, they're the people love yoga, right? So that they go to yoga, let's say, and you just said that they may even get triggered in that process.
Sure. What you actually brought it up earlier, which is that we are going to have, each one of us is going to have a, to some degree, a limitation to what we have, what we would call our capacity. Mm-hmm. And working with a life coach or a consultant or somebody like yourself or somebody like me, you know, everybody, I would imagine, has a similar intention or goal, which is to increase their capacity and to increase their potential. And if you can't clearly identify where what is in the way, then it's like throwing more logs on a fire that doesn't have enough flame in it. It doesn't really help. So what you said earlier, I think, is very key. It's like, how do we live within our capacity, and where is it that we might be limited? And in my work, it's always about a certain level of safety and cooperation, because so much of the trauma that we experience that goes unnamed or unseen or is invisible to the kind of visible outer world has to do with relationship and interdependency. And Those particular pieces, if you're a yoga instructor, you're a life coach, if we don't understand that basic concept that therapists use, which is counter-transference, meaning that we are a part of that person's experience and that their experience is relational, we don't really get into the deeper pieces that help us understand ourselves better. And that has a lot to do with safety. It has to do with slowing down, and it has to do with noticing where those limitations might be. And some of them are probably smaller or greater at any given time. And that does take, that's a skill. That's a skill of a practitioner to notice that.
Yes. Now, speaking to what you were talking about, capacity and living within that capacity, what are some ways, obviously, you know, like you said, just slowing down. How can you increase that capacity? Because I know there's different ways that we can expand ourselves, right? Expand our energies, our space, our, you know, our showing up in the world is bigger. How are some of the ways that you know how to do that with your clients and teach them how to do that?
Sure. So let's just do a little piece right now. Is that okay?
Sure.
So, great. So what you could do is just at a very basic level, just noticing, coming into yourself, just with the intention of letting your being slow down and just begin to feel down in your body, particularly your pelvis and your thighs and where you're sitting, whether it's on the couch or on the chair, and just letting your awareness come down in the body. Feeling down into your feet and your legs, and just letting the body surrender into down and slow. Right, and there's no rush to do this. There's just a sense of like a rock dropping through water. It takes time to get it down, and it's really just prompting your awareness down and starting to notice the particulars. Noticing the right side of the pelvis and the sits bones on the right. And then noticing the left side and the sits bones. And then just noticing if you're sitting more forward or more back in your sits bones. And you're just noticing. So there's no meaning here. There's just a sense of, oh, this is what I sense, this is what I notice. So that's just like a basic way, and I, you know, obviously I would keep going, and I have I have an embodiment meditation that goes through this further, but you can feel, I don't know if you did it, Nicole, but you can feel, did you? What did you notice?
Yeah, so what I noticed is that when I do that, when I have that presencing with myself, I notice the I can feel like the energy flowing through me. Whereas when I'm just going through my day, otherwise I may not feel the energy. Like, you know, we say, oh, everything's energy, yeah. But we're not present with ourselves. We're just kind of in the doingness. You don't feel it as much. But when I stop and do that, as I just did, I could feel it's like pulsating through me, and I'm present. I'm feeling my body. I'm feeling my energy field. I'm feeling myself as a being as opposed to a doing.
Great. And does that, as you're feeling that, does that feel like a calmer state? Does it feel more like a more connected state?
Yes, definitely more calmer, more grounding, mm-hmm. more connected, and mm-hmm. More gathered.
Uh-huh. And do you feel that in that place, in that feeling of connected and more gathered, do you feel like you're able to deal and navigate with the world in a more equal, in a state of equilibrium, more so than you would be if you weren't?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that only took a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and that was like 2 minutes, and normally it's like the meditation that I offer for my clients and people who want to go to the website, it's only 10 minutes. It's not a long meditation, and I have designed it and facilitated it in a way where it's minimally activating, meaning we don't talk about things or go into the body in a way that would create activation, which is, I think, sometimes what happens when people go to a yoga class or it's more group, and I don't think out of any malice, but it's just more generic, and so everybody's dealing with different things, and so the energies can sometimes rise up and feel overwhelming, as opposed to doing something that's more neutral and slowed down and guided, you know, with that intention and more neutralizing.
Mm-hmm. So even if somebody did want to go to yoga and mm-hmm. experience the class environment with that, and then afterwards even just grounding themselves afterwards for a couple minutes in their car, because you're also picking up all the energies from everybody else, too.
Absolutely, so, and you're more open.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually use this, when people get very good at using the meditation and they're used to slowing themselves down, you actually can use it through all the other teachings. So mm-hmm. that's the great thing about embodiment process and embodiment work is that it doesn't interfere with learning other things. It just makes sure that you're regulated within it, which increases your capacity to be intelligent, meaning the nervous system is aligned with our attunement and our consciousness. So that allows us to actually grow and learn at the pace that we are optimally going to grow and learn. And that's the piece that is missing often from just going to classes that don't provide that opportunity, because oftentimes we'll try to will our way through something, right? We'll just keep pushing because our ego wants to defend and we want to prove that we can do it. And that's not yoga. That's not regulation and that's not health.
Yeah, that's kind of a Western Western
yeah.
approach to yoga versus what it was actually meant to, or any of the meditation, prayer, you know, it's really not meant as a, like you said, to force it. So who do you find that you work with the most? Like, are you working with a lot of entrepreneurs and business people that have a lot on the go, and this helps them in their, specifically when you're talking about the type of people that you like to work with, that you can make a great impact with?
I love working with entrepreneurs. Yeah. I mean, that's a great group of people. That's my favorite sort of demographic in a way. But I work with a lot of teachers and other health practitioners. And the thing about entrepreneurs or leaders in general is that they really are about empowering themselves. And this is such a way of accessing the deepest level of empowerment we have, because we are yoking our consciousness, which is what yoga is really about. It's about that relational field. Right, and learning how to sit with tension fields without overwilling, right? Moving into that co-creative space where we really can transform things in our own lives and in the lives of others.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, and then as people are doing this, your clients, then they're going to experience the impact in their business, in their relationships, in their health, all these other areas. I remember seeing a little video clip, and it was with Howard Stern and Jerry Seinfeld, and they were talking about transcendental meditation and that they both use it very actively in their lives. It's part of a daily practice for them,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps them, I mean, even Howard Stern, you know, he talks about how he does it after his show, or, you know, prepares himself before his show, and I think his mother was a practitioner, so he got into it through her. And Jerry Seinfeld was saying, wow, if I had this when I was doing the show, it would have been that much better, and I would have been that much more good at you know, what he was doing there, and maybe even doing it longer, who knows. So it's a very powerful tool. It's simple, and yet some of the most greatest, most powerful things in life, I think, are just the most simplest things and the most obvious.
I think that's the challenging part sometimes for people is that we get caught in that pattern of feeling we need to go, go, go and make things happen. We don't want to slow down and turn it into ourselves and really see the internal resource that's in us that might make us actually more potent, more capable, more limitless. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to sort of interact with the outside as though the answers or the empowerment can come from there. And we forget sometimes to come in and take care of ourselves. That actually is also to our benefit and to the benefit of others, especially when we're leading, because we can lead by example.
Yes, absolutely. So you mentioned about a 10-minute meditation. So mm-hmm. they go to angelicasinghe.com, S-I-N-G-H.com, to find, is it on your homepage, or where do people get access to that meditation?
Yeah, so there's a resources section, and there are free talks, and there is an embodiment meditation on there that is free. And then also, if they sign up for the newsletter, and if they're interested in the online class, then we also have another meditation that is given out through the sign-up.
So entrepreneurs, leaders, healers, teachers, you mentioned as well.
Artists.
Certainly,
mm-hmm.
yeah. If you're a writer like you were, you know, and you have writer's block, this may be a good way to get you back into flow again, literally. Any last thoughts for our listeners today before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I mean, I would just say that it's been really fun, and I'm really grateful, and I love the conversation, and I hope your audience enjoys it as well.
Thank you. Angelica, thank you so much sharing your heart. I can tell you are very present. You are very grounded yourself. You have a love for people and sharing your experiences and your skill sets.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
So for our listeners, go to angelicasinghe.com. We'll have it in the show notes on leadersoftransformation.com. Get that 10-minute meditation, you know, and just start there during the day. You know, take 10 minutes. You are worth 10 minutes. You're worth so much more than that. To invest into yourself, to ground, to embody your, you know, connected mind, body, spirit, so that you can not only transform your own life, but you can transform your experience in life with others, because, of course, it plays out in your relationships and all the other areas like we talked about today. So I encourage you to do that. AngelicaSinghe.com. Go check it out. And thank you for listening. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Leaders of Transformation real soon.
Thanks for listening. Head over to leadersoftransformation.com for full recaps of every show, our valuable resources, and our blog, all designed to support you in becoming the difference maker and world changer you were born to be. See you next time.